Rolling. I think it's a nervous habit. I'm going to start off with a prophetic word, and it's not necessarily to you, but it's to those people that will be listening on the tape. I'm sure that some of it will probably speak to this congregation, but in my heart, I feel like the Lord has said, I want you to speak a word to people that will be listening to this tape. And the word is this. This prophetic word is to you that have just turned this tape on, not necessarily to the congregation at Wings Christian Fellowship, although it will minister to some. But this word is for you, so listen up, says the Lord. Ecclesiastes says there's a time for war, a time for scattering of stones. And a time to retrieve stones and to bring the stones back. And I have many of you out there that are scattered stones. You're operating out of your living room, your basement, all over the place you're operating. On your own, but not on your own, because I am with you. But you have decided not to come in and fellowship with the temple that I have in the earth, of which you are a part of. And I understand, says the Lord, because you have a calling and you know it, and you love me, and I know that. And you spend much time with me, and you worship me, and you praise me. But the hour has come that I need you in my body. The hour has come for you to allow me to place you and fitly join you in my temple. And I know your heart, and I know the reasons why you have left. And it is because you love me, and you have a burning passion for me, and you have gone into many fellowships and have found them not to be a temple of stones fitly joined together, but you have found them to simply be stones that were just piled on top of one another, disjointed. But that is about to change, says the Lord. I am gathering my stones from the east and the west and the north and the south. And I am calling them together to become a mighty army in the earth today. An army of people that the world has never seen. And so I say, come, my darling children, come. Because this is the Lord's day. And I am going to build my temple, says the Lord. And unless the Lord builds the temple, my servants labor in vain. But come. Come. I need you, My body needs your gifting and your calling. Come and you will be blessed. And you will be used. And you will be edified. And you will see me in a greater way than you've ever seen or known me. And you will operate in the anointing and the power that you have cried out for. But you must come, says the Lord. You must come. So I'm waiting. I'm waiting because I know you will come. And it's going to be a great and glorious day as my temple starts rising in the earth. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, God. Praise you, God. Praise you, God. I started reading Ephesians chapter 4. And there was one verse in Ephesians chapter 4 that just really kind of caught my attention, and I just kept meditating on it. And it was Ephesians 4:29. And it says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed forth out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use and the edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, and to edify them profitably." And I've been kind of chewing on that verse for some time, and I know that the Lord had stopped me there, and I know that that verse was for me. And one translation says that your words may be a gift to the hearer. Isn't that beautiful? Because, you know, words, they can be like gifts that you hand out to people. They can bless people. They can edify people. They can encourage people. Words can be gifts. Or they can be corrupt. And the Lord says, don't let corrupt communication come out of your mouth. But that which is good to the use of the edifying, to the encouraging, to the blessing, that it may minister grace and gifts unto the hearer. Praise God. Isn't that beautiful? And then I text Oscar this week. I guess it was a scripture. And as soon as I pushed the button on send, I said, "Oh, my God, I just set myself up to preach on Sunday." I knew it as soon as, if I could have caught my finger and pulled it. But, you know, the Lord, dink, you know. So he kind of sent, I think it was a text or something. He said, "Hey, would you like to minister this Sunday?" You know. And, you know, man, you know, the old flesh just comes up and says, "Well, you don't have nothing to say. All you got is one verse. You know, that's not going to say much." You know. But you know, it's when the Lord gives you opportunities. You know, it's the Lord. You know, most of the time it's the Lord. And so I talked to Oscar, you know, and I said, "Well, I don't, you know, I'll pray about it." I text him, "I'll pray about it and see." I like texting. It's better than talking. Because if you talk to him, he's going to say something that's going to, you know, get you to say, "Okay, I'll," yeah. And that's exactly what happened. I text him, "I'll pray and see," you know. And I told him I'd get back to him, and I did. And I was warring, and he could tell that, you know. And I said, "I don't know, I just, you know, blah, blah, blah."
Our lives are all so busy, and there's so many things that we have to do. And I went off. Okay. All things are of God.
Okay, I'm back on. Thank you. So, as soon as I said yes to Oscar, or to the Lord, all of a sudden, stuff started coming. The flow opened up in here. And the Lord started saying, I want you to read all of chapter 4. Read the whole chapter, not just that one verse, but the whole chapter. And about within a day, I started getting something from the Lord for you guys, for me, and for the congregation, and for everybody out there listening, for that matter. And I thought, gee, you know, when I was asked to minister, and there's something in what I'm saying here for every one of us. Then I'm going to get into kind of the message. But when I said yes, when I committed myself, the heavens opened inside of me, okay? And I just want to take just this moment, because the Lord told me, he said, now I want you to share that with the congregation, what just transpired with you. Because I ask my people to do a lot of stuff. And the first thing that happens to them is the first thing that happened to you. The flesh immediately, you know? Before the throne of God, the sons of God came, and who was there? There he was, Satan, making accusations, you know. So the Lord was saying, there's many things that I've laid on your hearts and many things I'm going to be laying on your hearts in the future. And all I want you to say is, I will. And God says, then I will. Because it's not me that has to do it anyway, really. For years I've tried to do it on my own, okay? And that's painful. When you try and minister, when you try and, you know, I guess it's easy for some guys that got an IQ of 180, you know, and they can read through books like this, and they can get up and they're just great, they can just give great stories and, you know, and keep you all entertained and whatever. And a lot of that stuff is good, don't misunderstand me, but I haven't been blessed with a high IQ, okay? And there's probably a reason in that. Because if I did have 150 IQ, I don't know. I don't know if I'd need the Spirit to lead me. I have enough intelligence of my own. You know, wasn't it Paul said, I didn't come to you with words of men's wisdom, but in demonstration and power of the Holy Spirit. And that's the kind of person that the Lord, I believe, is raising up today. You know, the humble person, whatever. If you're not, he'll give you a lesson in that too. Got a laugh out of somebody over in that corner. Okay. So, I was saying, Lord, I need some confirmations of some of these things. Because I really only have one main point. I'm sure that there's some things I'm going to say that are probably going to minister to you, I hope. I know it will, if your heart's open. And if you're listening to the message and not looking at the messenger, okay? So in the mail, I got a newsletter from an individual. I don't even know if I'm going to tell you his name, because so many times we judge the message by the messenger. Right. You know, if you don't like me, you may not even like my message, even though it's from the Lord. You know what I'm saying? But it started out this way. I'm going to read this to you. It's called Finding Our Fit, the Great Commission. It goes like this. Once we have been reconciled to God and our fellowship with him is restored, our basic purpose is to see the city of God that he is building and find our part in it. Find our fit. This begins with our part in his church. The angel told John, come up here. I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Now, when you have eyes of the Spirit, you know that this isn't the city of Jerusalem over in Israel, okay? We know that we are the city of Jerusalem, that we are the city of God, okay? And he says, the church is not the kingdom of God. However, one of her primary callings is to be a model of the coming kingdom. The church is called to be the greatest society that the world has ever seen. It will be this before the end of this age. For this reason, a basic part of being a disciple of Jesus is to be a part of his body, the church. We cannot be rightly joined to the head without also being rightly joined to his body. If we are not rightly joined, if we are rightly joined, we will know our part, our gifts and ministries, and we will function in them to the edification of the whole body. As we covered earlier from my previous studies, I have concluded, now I don't know about these percentages, but I'm going to give them to you anyway. I'm not so sure he's too far off, but I don't know. I'm not going to speculate. But as we covered in my earlier newsletters, from my studies, I have concluded that less than 5% of Christians know their ministry or their gifts of the Spirit that they have been given as tools for accomplishing their ministry. How well would you do if only 5% of your body was functioning? Amen? Now, we don't know about the percentages, but there's wisdom in what this brother's saying. This is the present state, I believe, of the body of Christ. Even with just 5% functioning, it is overall the most powerful entity on the planet. How much more powerful would it be if we started fulfilling 10, 20, 50%? We can be sure that before the end of this age, the body of Christ will be all she is called to be. How can this happen if for nearly 2,000 years we are still only such a tiny fraction of what we're supposed to be? But always remember that with the Lord, a day is 1,000 years. This means that he can do in one day what we think would take 1,000 years. As we approach the end of these ages, we can expect things to speed up in the spirit, just as they are doing in the natural. For this reason, one of the most important signs that we are getting close to the end of these ages will be the bride of Christ becoming what she is called to be. One reason that less than 50% of those who claim to be Christians attend a local church or do not attend a local church, one reason that less than 50% of those who claim to be Christians attend a local church is because most Christians don't fit in. There can be various reasons for this, but one is that many churches have no place for them. There may be a place for them to sit in the service, but they are not built together with the rest of the living stones in the temple. They just remain a pile of rocks. This is one of the biggest failures of the body of Christ, but it will be revealed. Few leaders of the present church qualify for any of the ministry titles listed in Ephesians chapter 4. Because they are not true apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers who will build the body by equipping the saints. Any part of your body that does not get used will become atrophied very quickly. Right now, more than 95% of Christians are in an atrophied spiritual state. They may pray, they may read, they may volunteer for some service work, but few are truly connected to their purpose. This creates a continual, hear this now, this creates a continual emptiness, a yearning, a sense of being unfulfilled that is at the root of much of the discord and divisions in the church. The only remedy is for every member to know their place. Be equipped to fulfill it and engaged in fulfilling it. There was a study done years ago to find the main question that people ask. The main question human beings ask is, what is my purpose? There is no entity on earth that can answer this as well as the body of Christ when she becomes what she is called to be. When we get this, there will be no entity on earth as compelling, more interesting, or fulfilling as being a part of the body of Christ. How do we get there from where we are now? That is one of the ultimate questions we should be asking. The answers are readily available, but we must be prepared for radical transformation. Got an amen there. Okay. I thought that was very good. Then the Lord led me over to Ezekiel chapter 36. I want to read a few verses. And I want to show you a verse that just knocks you down. Ezekiel 36, the Lord says, I will sprinkle you with pure water, and you will be clean from all your impurities. I will purify you from all your idols. I will give you a new heart. I will put a new spirit within you. I will remove the heart of stone, the law. I will remove the heart of stone from your body and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you, and I will take the initiative, and you will obey my statutes and observe my commandments. And then this desolate land will be called the Garden of Eden. Praise God. I, the Lord, have spoken all these things, and I will do it. Now, we know that that's a type and a shadow of Ezekiel about what God is doing in our salvation, sprinkling pure water of the Word on us, cleansing us, okay? The blood of Jesus Christ giving us new life, making us a new creation. But listen to the second last verse in that chapter. I think a lot of times, I'm not baiting you, I'm going to say it, but I think a lot of times when we read about God's going to do this, God's going to do that, He will, He will, He will, we start thinking, well, God's sovereign, praise God. Well, what's left for me? You know, just go to church on Sunday, praise the Lord. Because God's going to sprinkle, God's going to give me a new heart, God's going to hear this verse. After he says all that to the house of Israel, he says, this is what the sovereign Lord says. I will allow the house of Israel to ask me to do this for them. I will allow the house of Israel to ask me to do this for them. I don't know about you, but that just kind of hit me like a ton of bricks. I got that some time back, and I knew I was going to have an opportunity to share this from the pulpit because to me, it is so powerful, especially to groups that are walking in some deeper light. And we're walking, God's been good to this fellowship. And we understand a lot of the principles of the kingdom of God and the sovereignty of God. But I don't think we ever want to forget that God is saying, you still have to ask. You still have to seek. You still have to knock. And you know, one time I spotted where it says, ask is A, seek is S, and knock is K. A, S, K. Ask. So, just like your salvation, did it just come to you? You had to ask. Lord Jesus, I believe so-and-so would come into my heart, save me. It's done. Baptism of the Holy Spirit. You want to get into that holy place in the tabernacle? What's the Lord say? If a son asks his father for bread, would he give him a stone? Then how much more would he give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? You want the Holy Ghost? Ask. You want to operate in the gifts of the Spirit? Ask. Do you want to prophesy? Do you want to speak in tongues? Do you want to interpret tongues? Do you want a gift of healing? Do you want a gift of miracles? Ask. It's all there. It's finished. We heard Brother Lyle spend 3 nights in this place saying, it's finished. And that's what the Lord's saying when he says, I'll sprinkle you, I'll do this, I'll do that, I'll do this, I'll take the initiative, I'll do all that. You ask. Do you really want this thing? Am I really the Lord of your life, or is this just some religious game that we play 1 hour on Sunday? I know that's a little harsh, but what the heck. And if you want to go into the holy place, if you want to enter in behind the third veil and go into the Holy of Holies, let us therefore come boldly, or let us therefore ask to come into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. All three. You hear us talk a lot about the Holy of Holies. I don't know how many of our brothers and sisters in here have entered the Holy of Holies. Brother Benny Skinner came and brought some beautiful messages on the Holy of Holies. And I remember one day I heard Benny say, you know how you enter into the Holy of Holies? And boy, I was all ears, like donkey's ears. It just went just that way. Because I heard him always talking about the Holy of Holies, but I didn't really know where he was coming from. And he said, just come boldly to the throne of grace. That's all. It's all by the blood. You get saved by the blood. You get baptized by the blood. And you get the fullness, walk in the fullness of God by the blood. Just come boldly to the throne of grace in time of need. Just ask. Come on in. Praise God. This Christianity thing that we're into is not hard. Man's religion makes it so difficult. That's the problem. That is the problem. And then, still asking the Lord for some, can never get enough confirmations, amen? I get this in the mail from Roy Ralph, his newsletter. I don't know if you guys have read his newsletter or not. But I thought, what a beautiful, this one put the final nail in it for me. I got this Friday night, and I was just sitting there reading it. And Roy's been going around, he was in Brussels and France, and he's been quite, all over the world here recently. And in here, he's got, on the last page, it says, the word has gone forth. Now is the time to train and prepare the body of Christ for the greatest move of God that the world has ever seen. That is the only thing that will change the church. Every joint supplying. That's how the church gets edified in love and grows. He says, that is the only thing that will change the church and our nation. That is what the whole creation is groaning for and will experience, here we go, as the people of God rise up and fulfill their individual and corporate calling. Good stuff. And then he talked about Hannah and Peninnah. I hope I'm pronouncing her name. I'm probably crucifying it, but two women that were married to one of the Levite priests, Elkanah. And Peninnah had a bunch of children, and Hannah had none. And that's about as bad as it gets, is when you're a woman in Israel and you're married to a priest and you can't have children. And she wanted a man child. And of course, Peninnah, she was happy and always flaunting her children in front of Hannah, because she had so many. And it said that Elkanah always, once a year, used to buy gifts for all of them, gifts for Peninnah, whatever. He bought her a chain of restaurants. No. That's what you were thinking. I might as well say it, okay? So he gave all these gifts out to her children. To Hannah, he gave her a gift, and he said, I don't know if I got the notes on or not, but it was a worthy gift. It's interesting how he gave gifts to his first wife, or Peninnah, whatever, and all her children, and to Hannah he gave a worthy gift. And I looked up that word, worthy, and I wrote it down somewhere, but I can remember. And the word meant face. I mean, it was something special that God gave to her, even though she had not birthed a child. But she was always pouring out her soul to birth a man-child. And she did eventually birth that child. And we talked a good deal about him back in Sunday school this morning, Samuel. Wasn't it? And this is one of the things that Ralph had in his newsletter here. It says, the next day they rose up early, worshiping the Lord. And Hannah, when she does become pregnant and gives birth to her first son, she names him Samuel, saying, I have asked him of the Lord. And that's how she birthed that man-child. I asked the Lord, give me a man-child. And I feel like the Lord is saying, there's a great birthing process that's going on in this hour. And like Hannah, I want you to come to me. And I want you to cry out like Hannah did. Because I'm going to birth a man-child in your midst. Now, I know that you look at all the other fellowships. You look at Panana. And you look at all the 6,000 in the congregation. And they're digging wells all over Africa. And all that stuff is wonderful. And she's got a whole lot more children than what we've got. Amen? You know where I'm going? But there's a people that God says, I've given you a worthy gift. Given you a worthy gift. You're going to see the face of God. You're going to walk in the presence of God. So just stand fast in the love of God and continue to encourage each other. Continue to give those gifts out of your mouth to one another. And there's going to be so much love flowing in this place that people are going to be dying to get in here. And that was the message that the Lord, I believe with all my heart, wanted me to deliver. And James says, you know, if any man lacks wisdom, whatever it is you need, ask of God, who upbraideth not. He's not going to look at you and say, well, you're not worthy. Oscar is, because he's a good pastor. Yeah, you know, you're kind of marginal. No, God doesn't, you know, he doesn't do that to us. Amen? For it is God which worketh in you both to do of his good will and his pleasure. So it's God that's bringing forth the man-child in us. All we have to do is just love God, ask, and he says it's finished. Just rejoice in that and rest in that. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your words are spirit and their life, dividing asunder, Lord. Father, I pray that you'll continue to manifest yourself in our midst, and that, Father, that you'll continue to manifest yourself even in our homes. Wherever we're at, Lord, in the workplace, let people see your face, Lord. You have given us a worthy gift, Lord. There's none worthy, no, not one, but Jesus Christ. And he's the one that we possess, and he's the one that we want to know, and he's the one that we want to grow to the fullness in us, Lord, that you would be glorified in him. We love you, Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Ask you. I think.